Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I am Prakash Sangam, founder of Tantra Analyst and your host. In the 5G era, one of the concepts that has come close to the hype cycle that 5G created is this idea of private networks, wherein large enterprises, educational institutions, or really anybody that has the need and the capacity to build a small dedicated cellular network just for themselves, just for their own use. Just to clarify, by classical definition, any Wi-Fi network would be a private network. But generally, when anybody talks about private networks as such, including us in this interview, it's mostly about cellular networks. Building and managing cellular private networks is magnitudes more complex and expensive. It includes, most importantly, getting access to spectrum, designing, deploying, and managing radio core networks, and so on. But recent product developments, which have miniaturized RAN and core into a small manageable box, and most importantly, availability of shared spectrum, such as CBRS band in the US, have made private networks much more feasible. Additionally, applicability of 5G in many enterprise use cases has significantly increased the interest and has accelerated the traction of 5G private networks. We have a special guest with us today to discuss the current status, opportunities, and challenges of private networks. And that is Mehmet Yavuz, a good friend and the CTO as well as the co-founder of a hot startup called Silona. Mehmet, welcome to the show.
Hi, Prakash. Nice talking to you. Thank you.
Mehmet and I go back quite a few years to the time when we both were working at Qualcomm. Mehmet was the lead for small cell engineering team in Qualcomm, going back to the 4G days. Mehmet, why not start telling us about your journey into the world of small cells and being a champion for private networks, and also how you ended up founding Silona?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks again having me on your podcast, Prakash. Yeah, we go a long back at Qualcomm. Basically, my background is I've been in cellular communications for more than 20 years, and more than 15 years of it was at Qualcomm. Mm-hmm. I was a VP of engineering there, as you said, leading the small cells program and the R&D group. Mm-hmm. And later, I started leading the CBRS program, as you know, at Qualcomm, starting in 2016 timeframe, mm-hmm. driving a lot of the private LTE and 5G efforts. And what I noticed over the last like 5+ years was there was this big ecosystem in Silicon Valley, mm-hmm. right? Focused on modern software cloud architecture. And they've been developing solutions for enterprise networking. Mm-hmm. And of course, 5G had the same vision with network function virtualization and so forth. But in reality, lots of innovation was really happening in Silicon Valley. Uh-huh. So long story short, I ended up moving from sunny San Diego to Silicon Valley. And we started Silona about like 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as Silona, we are really the first dedicated enterprise private 5G networking company. As we always say, at Silona, we bring DNA from three different worlds, right? One is the cellular wireless, like folks like me. The second one is enterprise networking DNA. And the third one is the cloud native software expertise. So here our unique IP is really lies in the ability to deliver these guaranteed service levels to business critical applications on enterprise networks, right? And we use modern software architecture, and with our enterprise DNA, we are able to have our product that integrates to enterprise networks seamlessly. Actually, what we call our solution is 5G LAN, just like WLAN.
Yeah,
for Wi-Fi, 5G LAN, mm-hmm. which really becomes a part of the LAN. And we really use AI for automation to make this 5G cellular solution available in an automated, seamless manner for many enterprise verticals.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, the whole ecosystem is kind of merging, right? These cloud, yeah. Communication and the software ecosystem used to be separate, but now you're all together, right? You know, when you look at 5G, a lot of it is software defined. There's huge cloud component to it, of course, and there is telecommunication. So I think private networks are a good confluence of all these mega trends, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there has been a lot of hype, of course. I mean, anything that goes with the 5G, you know, has some hype cycle to it. So what is the current situation on the ground from a private network's perspective?
Yeah.
You know, are you deploying them, you know, demoing them, trialing them, or actual commercial deployments and so on?
Yeah, great question, Prakash. And we've been on this journey, right, for the last quite few years. The CBRS spectrum, for example, the US started almost 5 years ago.
Of course.
Discussions with FCC and so forth. And around 2019 timeframe, it became commercial.
Yep.
And we also have seen a lot of countries in Europe and elsewhere in globe making this spectrum available. So that was like a big missing link, right? The availability of spectrum.
Correct.
So now we have commercial spectrum in many countries, US leading the way.
Yep.
And here at Celona, we have a lot of deployments in the field, and it's across really multiple verticals for different use cases that I would love to give you a overview.
Mm-hmm.
And our deployments in the field today are in these different verticals, but maybe you can categorize them a little bit under these different verticals. So one is, I would say, more like logistics and warehousing, and even includes transportation yards. And in these logistic warehousing transportation, what we see is a lot of automated mobile robots inside the warehouses.
I see.
Outdoor wireless connectivity for their trucks, the hustler trucks or forklifts. You see a lot of staff-operated rugged tablets and handheld devices.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's push-to-talk and voice communications, and sometimes it's more about helping the fulfillment workflow so that the employees know where the goods and products are. And sometimes it's the bots who need to go to the right aisle and shelf to pick up the right goods for storage and shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see a lot of video surveillance around the facilities where they would like to use computer vision and other enhanced, you know, IP camera technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it even goes to, like, when you go to transportation yards, there are now remote control cranes where they would like to have real-time video streaming and also ability to, in a very deterministic, low latency manner, control those cranes. So it's a set of really applications in this environment. And then there are multiple, like there are maybe four or five others. I would be happy to go in if you like.
Yeah, sure. Why not just mention them and then we go into specifics of each of them?
Sure. We also see a lot of desire and some deployments in retail where they have mobile point of sales devices. And this may be some kiosks, maybe some even ticket checking facilities and so forth. Also in retail, they would like to go into computer vision.
Uh-huh.
Some applications of robotics are showing up there. Another one is healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So in the healthcare environment, in hospitals, voice over IP applications on smartphones for doctors and nurses communications. Now with the COVID, we see instances of hospitals even expanding outdoors around the hospital facility, right? Maybe for checking in some patients, or maybe some for the vaccination and so forth, is extended coverage is needed outside the healthcare facilities. Another one is manufacturing. In the manufacturing, we see demand for automated guided vehicles and, again, rugged tablets and handhelds for the employees. Also IP camera applications. Maybe a fourth one is a big one is smart communities. You see a lot of remote learning applications coming up with lots of school districts that kind of started with the COVID, but now it's extending to many places in K-12, where they would like to provide this ability for the students to attend the classes remotely and many underprivileged communities don't have coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have this coverage in the school district or citywide, now there is a lot of emergency and safety systems, IoT infrastructure, and other use cases that come in. Another aspect of this is higher education. We see in universities and college campuses a lot of deployments we are having, which first of all covers outdoor regions of the campus where they have fire alarms, video surveillance systems, and parking technology, and so forth.
Okay.
Also critical communication for the staff on their mobile devices, for facilities and other groups.
Okay.
And IoT infrastructure in general, I would say. Then there are new coming ones like smart buildings where they would like to have SIM-based security for sensitive internal communications, AV equipment, touch screens, and so forth. And maybe the last one I should highlight is government. Government both in defense and other agencies.
Okay.
There is a lot of desire for 5G, and private 5G becomes critical for a bunch of those use cases. So I know I said a lot of things, Prakash, so let me know if you want to dig into some of these. But a lot of real applications are happening with real deployments right now.
Yeah, sure. So let's break them a little bit. Actually, I have two major questions based on what you explained. One is, many of the applications could be done on Wi-Fi, right? So why do you need cellular or 5G, which is relatively expensive and needs a lot of, you know, deployment, ongoing maintenance, and such? So any specific reason? I mean, a lot of times, the low latency is, you know, given as one of the reason and reliability, but many of the cases like, you know, POS terminals and regular communication and so on, that can be done Wi-Fi, right? Why are they looking at cellular and, you know, 5G specifically?
Yeah, great question. And I mean, it really comes down to a few things, right?
Uh-huh.
Probably the most important one is predictability.
Okay.
So there is a high desire for a predictable performance.
Mm-hmm.
This may be throughput, it may be latency, it may be mobility and roaming, but how can you ensure that this network gives you a predictable performance under different conditions? When the RF environment is variable, mm-hmm. right, in these warehouses and you know, any of these logistics facilities or manufacturing, the RF is a big question with Wi-Fi. Mobility is a big challenge. You know, in warehouses, sometimes we have bots going at 25 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have very fast mobility, and it needs to be seamless. Like, you should ensure that this reliable link with the robots or bots or AGVs is always there
mm-hmm.
for command and control applications. And sometimes it's as simple as I have an IP camera, it's HD stream. And I would like to have that guaranteed data rate for my IP camera, independent of the load. So in these challenging use cases, what happens is, like, when the system is not loaded, the Wi-Fi can work great. But as the system gets loaded,
mm-hmm.
there is no strict QoS, right, for these different applications. And that becomes a challenge. Or mobility, right? Wi-Fi is not really designed for mobility. So that is the predictable performance bucket.
Uh-huh.
The second big one, Prakash, is really outdoor coverage.
I see.
When you have this outdoor coverage requirement, maybe outside manufacturing facility, or you have a port,
mm-hmm.
right? Or maybe you have a university campus and you want to provide seamless coverage outdoors,
mm-hmm.
it becomes very difficult with Wi-Fi just because of the transmit power limitations.
Oh, yeah.
And the range that you get with Wi-Fi is limited. So there, you know, they can put a private 5G base station, which can go to like 50 watts.
Yeah.
Like in US, you can operate at that high power and you can get hundreds of meters of coverage around the facility, right?
Yeah.
So that outdoor differentiation becomes really important. And the third one that is really coming up a lot is what we call neutral host service.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is basically extending the coverage of operator networks into like deep indoor locations where there's coverage limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And the solution there is basically using the private 5G network to extend the coverage of the operator coverage as well, it may be in the private spectrum, right? And it may be in the shared spectrum like CBRS, but these private 5G networks can broadcast the network ID of the operators.
Yeah.
Now you can start serving to customers or visitors or guests that are coming to the facility, maybe even the employees who don't have good cellular coverage. And that one, we are in the earlier days. The technology is ready, but the business model is shaping up.
Yeah.
So that is the third big bucket. And usually, Wi-Fi calling is not to the level of quality that the operators typically like.
Correct. I remember we talking about this hosted environment long time ago, right? The even 4G days, early 4G days, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's been in the making for a while, but now it's finally starting and some initial trials are going on. It will be a little bit until it is commercially available, I suspect, but the technology is there, trials are underway, I would say.
Okay. And the other aspect is usually when people talk about private networks in, you know, conferences and media and other things, one of the use cases usually thrown up is this URLLC, remote surgery, and all those kinds of things. So, but based on the actual deployments that you talked about, you're saying real use cases right now where, you know, 5G, even for advanced 4G, private networks can really be helpful for enterprises, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And Prakash, you know, we were both there, right? As we started 5G, and there is a great vision,
yeah,
of going to like millisecond latency and 6 nines reliability with URLLC. And that will enable a bunch of use cases in the like factories and maybe even going into actual industrial internet and so forth.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is like real use cases with real business impact today.
Correct.
Right? Those things that I mentioned, for example, you may not always need few milliseconds latency. In many times, these remote control applications, like 50 milliseconds is good enough.
Correct.
Or, you know, if you can give a predictable 10 megabits per second for an IP camera, and you can put that IP camera anywhere outdoors.
Yeah.
That's a huge benefit to enterprises today. And what will happen is, as the technology matures, the 5G technology matures, and these latency values go down to, you know, sub 10 and maybe even few milliseconds, more of these applications will come. But even today, as long as you can provide a predictable, you know, 30, 40 millisecond latency, a predictable guaranteed bandwidth of tens of megabits per second, there are a bunch of applications out there.
I see. Okay. Specifically, you mentioned this mix of use cases. A lot of them can be done with Wi-Fi, but with capacity crunch and with densification, lots of applications and lots of devices, you know, you will need 5G or a private network with cellular. So are you seeing 5G or, you know, even 4G private networks replacing Wi-Fi, or you will have both together at the same time, complementing each other?
Yeah, it's really complementing each other, right? I just want to be very realistic about that.
Okay.
There is a lot of wireless applications out there, and not all of them need that predictable guaranteed performance or, you know, large outdoor range. And also, we have new spectrum, basically, right? So most of the folks in IT, they will take more spectrum any day, right? And this private 5G networks come with their own spectrum.
Yeah.
And basically, what IT folks are saying is, okay, this is great. I can put some of my applications on this network while others keep running, maybe more in the best effort manner. More bulk data applications on the Wi-Fi. So it really complements what Wi-Fi is providing today.
Okay. That basically is a good segue to our next discussion point, which is, you know, enterprises know and they've been using and deploying Wi-Fi networks for a long time, but deploying and managing cellular private network is a different beast, right? In terms of complexity, in terms of cost, in terms of longevity, and so on. Do they really understand it? What is their approach in terms of they want to do it themselves or they want somebody to provide network as a service? What are you receiving?
Yeah, this is the crux of the issue. And honestly, it goes back to what I started. Uh-huh. Right? As Kelowna, when we started the company, we realized that, look, you really need to bridge this gap. Correct. There is a gap today between the cellular technology and what enterprises have been doing, right? Uh-huh. And if you just take a, you know, maybe more traditional telco solution, mm-hmm. and bring to enterprise,
yeah,
they're like, okay, what do I do with this, right? Like, how does it integrate to my DHCP,
correct,
server? How does it integrate to my firewall and access control policies and device management systems I have? So you really need to bridge that gap.
Correct.
And that has been our focus, honestly. Our solution, we've been focusing on ease of operation management, full integration with enterprise, mm-hmm. Including, you know, the L2, L3 networking and the firewall and security policies, device and identity management. As long as you bridge that gap, then you can really leverage the mm-hmm. enterprise ecosystem, I would say. Okay. And that can take different forms. That's what we have been seeing. You know, some enterprises have very strong IT departments, mm-hmm. and they're used to managing their, you know, Wi-Fi networks and so forth. As long as they have the right tools, uh-huh. To integrate, if it looks and feels like a Wi-Fi network, uh-huh. for them, yeah. they know how to manage it and operate it and be in charge of it. But for a bunch of other enterprises, mm-hmm. you know, a managed service provider kind of approach makes sense, where, you know, you have these skilled managed service providers. Maybe some of them have been doing Wi-Fi and, you know, switching and firewalls and SD-WANs for the enterprises. And this becomes another tool in their toolkit.
Okay.
But these managed service providers are not limited to the Wi-Fi ecosystem. If you really look closely, mm-hmm. many of the mobile network operators, MNOs, have groups which does the, you know, business or enterprise solutions.
Correct.
I mean, in Europe and Asia, this is very common. Even in US, you see these operators also providing enterprise solutions, yep. right, in their business or solutions group.
Correct.
And for them, this turns into an opportunity as well. So it's really a little bit of a mixture, but the bottom line is, again, it cannot be a separate network. I think ultimately it has to integrate to the existing LAN networks of enterprises. I think that's the crucial aspect.
Correct. So that basically addresses or brings about the question, who do you think is best positioned to make use of this private networking opportunity? Is it operators who have decades of experience deploying, managing cellular networks, or the enterprise IT providers who have decades of experience, you know, deploying, managing enterprise IT infrastructure? Or you think there'll be new entities that will basically club them together and give a blended offering to operators, combining these two competencies, and then be a new breed of enterprise IT players?
I mean, yeah, great question. Honestly, I don't know the answer. I know that there will be a mixture of these things, uh-huh. but like anything, probably it will be like an 80-20 kind of rule, yeah. right? One model will persevere over some other models in terms of bulk of the enterprises. Uh-huh. I think there will be some change in the current ecosystem, mm-hmm. and from the operator side, their enterprise offering arms probably will take some role in this kind of services. For the IT and enterprise managed service providers, I think they have a great opportunity, and we work with a bunch of them as well to extend their portfolio with these solutions. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you know, the end customers will decide in terms of which model they use. But one thing for sure is we cannot expect the end customers, the IT departments of enterprises, or even OT departments, to be experts in 5G, right?
Correct, yeah.
So they don't, they cannot be the experts in all the details of the technology. You cannot expect them to integrate radios from one vendor and the core network from another vendor, OSS, PSS systems from another vendor. That won't work, right? Some entities need to help in that, or you need to have more of an integrated end-to-end solution.
Correct.
So that's what we are working on, right? What we are providing is an integrated end-to-end solution. Mm-hmm. And who packages it the best way for the end customer? I think there are a few types emerging and already happening. We'll see which ones become the, you know, dominant ones and scale this whole thing. Because it's not just about doing a few trials here and there, right? It's about going to hundreds and thousands of enterprises and making it happen in a scalable way.
Correct. Usually operators tend to be a little bit more slow moving and such, enterprise and need things much more quickly. So that I think is one challenge. But at the same time, cellular operators having burnt in 4G that they ended up just providing dumb pipe.
Yeah.
And OTT players took most of the value. So they are very careful to make sure that they don't let any opportunity go to other parties, right? So I think that's one important consideration.
No. You're absolutely right, right? This is 5G promises a lot of things about business critical, mission critical applications, right?
Yeah.
And it's not really for consumers per se, it's really for businesses in my mind. 5G, of course, brings a lot of benefits to consumers, but if you ask me, the key aspects of 5G are more about these mission critical, business critical applications. And there's a lot of value the technology brings. And it's a great opportunity for operators, really, to make it happen for the enterprises. And as long as they have the right solution, I think there's an opportunity for them for sure.
So, and as a company, you work with both enterprise players as well as traditional cellular players providing a solution?
We do. Mm-hmm. We again provide an end-to-end integrated solution for which is like a 5G LAN solution, right?
Okay.
And who takes it to the end customers, we work different partners on both sides. Absolutely.
So when you may end-to-end, it has both RAN as well as core and other parts? Or?
Yeah, exactly. It has the RAN and the core and the management configuration solution that comes with it. We call it Orchestrator.
Mm-hmm.
So that it integrates to the network. You can assign different devices to different VLANs, VXLANs. You can set policies for access control. You can use existing switches and DHCP servers to integrate to. That's what I mean, right, as an end-to-end solution.
So for a IT manager sitting behind, it basically looks like same part of the network. The IT managers don't have to manage two networks, right? It all looks like one network to them, right?
Exactly, right? If I want to put my IP cameras on a certain VLAN,
mm-hmm.
and assign a micro slice to them.
Okay.
That's what we provide, right?
Okay.
And that's what they are used to. Either IT or the managed service providers. That's how they operate networks today in enterprise. So that is the blueprint, really.
Excellent. So seems like a lot of exciting things ahead. So where do you see private networks in US and worldwide in, say, by 2025?
Okay, great question. And here's what I usually think, Prakash. Uh-huh. So I think there's this Gates law, right? Which says like people tend to overestimate what can happen in the short term, but then they underestimate what can happen in the long term.
Correct.
So it is true there has been a lot of excitement about private 5G, and it took some time. Mm-hmm. For it to really start happening, and we really see the beginnings of it now in a lot of verticals, but still it's early adapters, right?
Yeah.
In terms of all these exciting use cases, the early adapters are deploying these networks. What I think is going to happen is in 25 timeframe, you'll really see scaling of these deployments where there is real business case, right? Mm-hmm. And automation, this digital automation, of course, is a big buzz. Industry 4.0 is a big buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe is these leading verticals and use cases will drive the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that 3-4 years time frame, you will see a really significant adoption in those specific verticals. And there are all these projections about TAM, right, in the next 3 years plus. So I think that will really happen. We're counting on it.
Uh-huh.
But I won't say, 5G will replace Wi-Fi and any of that. I think Wi-Fi will be there as well, Wi-Fi 6, 6E. But many use cases will start seeing carried over private 5G as long as there's a business case, right?
Correct.
And those things are already happening. I think as end customers see others doing this, and improving their business operations, they'll start adapting.
Okay, very well. So I think we covered a lot of ground. Any final words or comments?
No, I mean, this was great conversation. I wish we had even more time, but this was awesome. And I would like to keep in touch and keep you posted about things that we see in the field in the coming months. So thanks a lot for the opportunity, Prakash.
Absolutely. I'm sure we'll visit this topic many times in the future, the way things are going. Once again, thank you very much for coming over, Mehmet. And thanks for sharing your views.
Absolutely.
Silana is definitely on my radar. Best of luck with your efforts in making private networks a reality and grow them in a big way.
Thank you. Thank you, Prakash.
So, folks, that's all we have for now today. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If you did, please hit that subscribe button down there on whatever platform you are listening this on. Again, I'll be back very soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting tech subject. Bye-bye for now.